Okay, good morning. You'll turn to hymn number 334. 334, and you're stuck with me this morning. And, yeah, I know, turn off the mic when we start singing. 334, and let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves as to where we are and why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity of coming together and worshiping you with others who are like-minded. We consider this a great freedom throughout all history, the freedom to worship you as we see fit. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. 334. Let's stand and sing. Brian, well, we got Brian here. Okay. All right. Okay. One. 334. Blessed Assurance. Okay, let's see. I have a few things I just want to cover on a wonderful side. First of all, my daughter-in-law and son-in-law are here, and Jim and Julie. So, y'all stand up. I want y'all to see my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. The two little children, Ace and Annie Laura. His name is not Ace. His name is Jace. But I just think Ace is much better than Jace. So I call him Ace. And when I first did that, he'd just look at me. That's not my name. And so we're glad to have them. And, you know, I appreciate people that care about what they're being taught. And I guess Delphia decided she'd better bring her parents up here and have them kind of give okay on what we're teaching. So y'all all know Carl and Rhonda. I know it's Rhonda. All right. So we're glad to have y'all. How are the missions going? Wonderful. That's right. We talked about her the last week or the week before. How's she doing? Now, she went out and made her own ministry, Dan said. She went out and yeah. Beautiful. Are y'all going to go in January? Oh, okay. Yes, yeah. Yeah. I thought about going, and Judith and I thought about going, but we said, huh? Too young. All right, doggone it. That's why Dan didn't press us. All right. Wow. How long is your daughter going to be over there? Okay. Okay. Well, Jamie, we're glad to have you all here and out in Ghana. You serve everywhere, so you serve here. So that's good. Okay. In a few moments, we're going to take up two offerings, and I'll talk about the second offering when we get to that. And let's talk about prayer. And first of all, need to be in prayer for you, for Tish, in regard to your cancer. It's still there. And when are you going to get rid of that? How do you get rid of that?
But I still feel good.
You feel good? Yeah. All right. You feel good? You look good? Just you don't. Yeah. You got cancer in there. All right. My goodness. And did Jerry do okay at his uncle's funeral?
Yeah, everything went well. And the pastor did actually give the gospel.
Very good. That was our prayer.
Yeah. Ended up being an old friend from high school days. So
very good. Wow. A pastor in their high school class, huh?
Well, it's actually someone older than him. He went to a school with his brother, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
A pastor of a local church there.
And at my high school in Houston, there were three things, one of three things that every male was going to be. He's either going to be a crook, a gangster, a crook, a cop, or a preacher. And so, my goodness.
Which one were you?
Or some combination there.
Openly one, but undercover the other. would you talk to your parents, please? I love Carl. Carl and I used to have a good rapport. When they're having meetings in Tulsa, we like to kind of sit in the back and we make comments about everything they're doing. I remember one, they were talking about how much they were going to charge for the candy bars at the camp. Carl Lewis says, "This is a grace-oriented camp, Herman." let's see. Eve, you've been gone. We're glad you're back safely. That's good. We were in prayer. And Brian, y'all are doing okay?
Yes.
The whole family?
Yep.
Boy, let's mark this down. I got it in Sunday when the whole family's doing well. Wow, that's good. My goodness. Any other prayer requests that haven't mentioned? We do want to continue to be in prayer for Kit's sister Molly and his niece. And Alicia, we need to be in prayer. And she's going through some rough time right now, so we need to be in prayer for Molly and Alicia, that the Holy Spirit will guide them at this time.
On Thanksgiving, Jean, my daughter and son-in-law's friend,
with a liver transplant? Well, so far his body's accepted and he's going unbelievably.
Fantastic. What was it? Last week, just last week, you said that he accepted it. His body accepted the liver, and that immediate change in his color.
They said as soon as they took his old liver out, his color came back. They said it was so bad, worse than they thought.
Very good. Yeah. We'll be in prayer now. What we want to be in prayer is that he continues to get well, but that he realize that God's in control and God's giving him this time frame. And I always feel like I'm living on borrowed time, and so that's really good. And so continue to be in prayer for Gene. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
For Nathan and the troops.
Continue to be in prayer for Nathan. Now, he'll be heading home when?
21st of November.
Oh, well, that's a while away. Okay, then. So we need to be in prayer for Nathan. And and people just be in prayer for each other. And if you decide to walk by faith in the Spirit, put you right in the center of the battlefield. So let's be in prayer for each other as we walk. The Word of God declares what's... Yes? Good.
300%
improvement
in personality.
And she just, I mean, she gets in the car and starts drawing, I love God, God loves us. And
wow,
beautiful.
So thankful. And she's
great. A good private Christian school just can't be beat. For what it does to their temperament, their attitude, their thinking.
I'm like, we're never moving. Everybody's going to Christian school.
Well, if Clinton has her way, that won't last very long. If she has her way. So we need to be in prayer in regard to Christian schools and homeschooling. And if there are forces moving against both of those. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ alone, and knows how to be filled with the Spirit, so that he's guided in his giving, and is given in the area of spiritual love. Paul says, if I give all that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, when we come to this facet of worship, we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other. The political, economic freedom that we still enjoy in America, the freedom to do with our lives as we see fit, the freedom to do with our money as we see fit, freedom to do with our time, live where we choose, go to the church that we choose, marry whom we choose. Father, we are most appreciative for this political economic freedom we still enjoy in America. And we are thankful for the men and women who have served in our nation's history to provide and protect this realm of freedom. But Father, we cross that with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom, the spiritual freedom, that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. What to do with our time and why. What to do with our money and why. Where to live and why. Where to go to church and why. Father, we are most appreciative for the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ. And we pray now, Father, that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel and all of the ways that you've given us. It's just amazing, Father, how you've given this humble assembly so many opportunities to serve, to spread the gospel, to both unbelievers and the gospel for believers. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. on Tuesday night, we're in the midst of studying Revelation. And we're right now studying the first and second resurrection. And it's just the fact that a lot of us older ones are not going to be here all that much longer. And it's going to be up to the young people, children. And I'm so thankful that we're gaining a nice momentum in dealing with our young people and working with Dan Hill's church, Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa. And it's just really good to have the young people starting to come around and gathering in some numbers. Now what we're going to do on November the 7th, now we made the announcement the last two Sundays, going to take up a special offering, and this offering is to help take care of a special training on November the 7th, and Saturday, and from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the age is from four to 12, and it will be here in our facility from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the brochure up here thing says Ramblin' Road Trip, which way do I go and go up, and but this is the way to the Vacation Bible School training. And it's going to have some expenses. So we're going to take up a special offering and for you to give to the helping of our children. So any other, I guess Larry's back with the children. Excuse me. So let's have a word of prayer and then take up a special offering. Heavenly Father, there is tension, not only in the Middle East, not only throughout Europe, but here in our own homeland. Things happening that some of us never even dreamed would happen, and the attack against our freedom. The hope of tomorrow lies in the children today to stand the gap. It will not be easy. It is not easy to be a young child today, to be a young person today. There are so many attacks. They have removed the Bible from our schools. They have removed things that would bring a consciousness of Christ in Christmas and Easter. Don't know where they're going to get it, Father, except from other young people that are Christians, that know the truth, and that will dare to take the stand, not be afraid to say, I am a Christian. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll use them, the training of our young people, to solidify in their soul their relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you very much. Martha asked me, is it right, is it okay to pray for the Texas Aggies? And my response is twofold. If you're praying for the football team, forget it. It's helpless. And if you're praying for Aggies spiritually, you can forget that. All Aggies are going to heaven. All Texas Aggies are going to heaven. Why? They never reach the age of accountability. So they're all going. Now let's get back in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and move on. Okay. Let's do what? Do what? Well, that's good. They're all going to heaven. How can you complain about that? Regardless of the reason, you're in heaven. Oh. Okay, we're in the midst of studying the doctrine of total depravity from Romans chapters 1 through 4. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit to open your eyes to this extremely important teaching. This is deals with why faith, why the gospel, has to be by faith. Cannot be any other way. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are, that you see and you saw our condition being under total depravity. Nothing that we could do about it. And in your grace and in your love and in your wisdom, you worked out a very free, a very easy, a very gracious way to solve the problem. Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, just to get you oriented as to where we are, we're studying total depravity and the grace of God, understanding why the gospel. And point one, the first thing that we did was we looked at created in the image of God. How man started out. Created in the image of God. And if you want to look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we'll just quickly read through it. Then God, and the word for God is Elohim, the three members of the Godhead, said, decreed, in eternity past, let us, all three members of the Godhead, make Asah, out of something. Asa means to make something out of something, out of the soul, man, Adam, the human race. In other words, the preposition in, after the pattern of the Godhead, in the image, and this word was slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, which means the same essence, invisible yet real, the structure of our souls, according to our Godhead likeness. And the word for likeness is damuth, and it deals with personality of being in the likeness of God. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We didn't study that. It wasn't part of our study. Verse 27, and God, Elohim, created. Now, the word for create is different than the word to make. Asah is the word to make. Means to make out of something. In context, here, the word bara, created, means to make something out of nothing. So let us create man, and God created man, that is the Adam, in his own image, slim, in the image of God, Elohim, he created bara, him, male and female, he created them. Okay, so the question arises with that, is how could that which is created in the image of God and in the likeness of God come under total depravity? How can that be? How can you start out with this creature in the image and likeness of God come under total depravity? Well, to give you an introduction to the devastation of sin, we went to Roman numeral 2, the effect of sin on the earth in the prehistoric world. And we looked at Genesis 1, 1 and 2, just to look at the effect of sin. If we understand Genesis 1, 2, or what happened between 1, 1 and 1, 2, you'll have no problem in understanding the total depravity of man. In the beginning, God created, that's bara, the heavens and the earth. This is the original creation. This is in eternity. This is before our present world, prehistoric world. 1:2. But the earth became. Note the corrected translation of the Hebrew tense. Not was, but became. Formless and void. Tohu va bohu is the Hebrew. Desolate and empty. No production, no life. And we saw in Isaiah, God did not create the world tohu va bohu. He didn't create it that way. It became that way. So what happened between verses 1 and 2? And darkness was over the surface of the deep. What happened between verses 1 and 2? He created the world, and he did not create it in darkness. He did not create it void and empty. He created it for habitation of the angels and animals, and it became these things. So what happened between 1 and 2, where the earth is described as waste, empty, darkness, barren? All these describe the earth after the fall of angels. Here we took up the spiritual warfare, the fall of angels in the prehistoric world, Satan's first rebellion against God. And of course God won, but there was a great effect of sin. But something else we saw. These words in Genesis 1:2 also describe us as unbelievers and as believers when we are in sin. And we need to be saved or delivered from these conditions. This, if you take a look at 1:2, became formless, void, empty, desolate, darkness. People, this is the way we are every time you and I sin. We do not lose our salvation. But until we get back into the light, till we get back into the power of the Holy Spirit, which is why we must know how to be filled with the Spirit properly, according to Scripture, and because this is the condition we're in. Genesis 1:2 not only describes the effect of sin of the angels on the earth, it describes us as unbelievers and us as born-again believers out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're created in the image of God, the effect of sin on the earth, and that brings us to where we are now, total depravity of man. Total depravity of man. Now, we ask the question, how did that creature, created in the image of God, change? How could we have changed? How did he become totally depraved? And that brought us to our current study in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. So let's open the scriptures to Genesis 2, 17. Now last week, what we did last week, we took a brief look at the three trees in the garden. There are three pertinent trees, there are a lot of trees, three pertinent trees. Tree of life, that's God's tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's Satan's tree. And then we have a fig tree, that's man's tree. That's the work tree. And those three concepts carry all the way through the Bible. Just all the way through, you can look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you recall, in that study, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil kills. And what did we see that gives knowledge of good and evil and kills? The law. It's the law. It gives knowledge and it kills. So this is where we are, and how sin changed that which was in the image of God into total depravity. Genesis 2:17. Genesis 2:17. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. But for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. And we spend a lot of time dealing with you shall surely die. So we looked at trees. We looked at Genesis 2:9 and verses 16 and 17. And we looked at the corrective translation, dying, you shall die. See, it says surely die. The word for dying is repeated right after each other. So actually it should be, dying, you shall die. And so this is where we left off at this point. The death is spiritual death. Not physical death, because they went on to live. Adam went on to live for over 900 years. So we know it isn't physical death. So how did he die on that day? He died spiritually. What is spiritual death? Inability of fellowship with God. Now, where I would have liked to have completed last week are as a summary points. So let's take a look at them. Point one. The Cal infinitive absolute. Now, I'm sorry if you want to understand the text and all. If not, don't worry about that. But the Cal infinitive, and it's an absolute of the word muth, M-U-T-H, that's the word to die, is with the finitive, the finite verb of the same verb, to die, to make it perfectly clear what is going on. The infinitive absolute occurs before the finite verb to emphasize both the reality and the certainty of this death. Dying, spiritual death, you shall die. Alright, point two. The verb muth, to die, M-U-T-H is a Hebrew, occurs twice, one right after the other. Both times it refers to spiritual death. Death is the result of sin. Death is the result of sin. So, how did that, which is created in the image of God, come under total depravity? Very simple. Sin. And after you look at the way the world changed between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, you should have no problem with the effect of sin. Sin causes results, people. Devastating results. Sometimes we go through our life and we may get angry or jealous or upset or gossip or slander and not think too much of it. But people, you have to look at the effect of that sin. You're in darkness, void, empty. The whole time we remain under the influence of the power of sin. Point three, physical death is the result of spiritual death. The great question, and I'm not going to get into it, but when you have time, you have nothing else to argue about, nothing else to think about. Would Adam have died if there had been no sin in the garden? Now, you can have fun with that. But he did sin. And a result of that is death. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. But physical death is not what we're talking about in Genesis 2:17. Point four. While physical death relates to the body, spiritual death relates to the soul. Spiritual death relates to the soul. Physical death, the body. Physical death is not in the prohibition here. It is the soul that is involved. People, only the soul is saved. Only the soul is regenerated. Point five. In spiritual death, the soul is separated from God. The human spirit died, leaving man no capability of fellowship with God. That's total depravity. What is total depravity? In another way of wording it, it is the inability of fellowship with God. And again, people, it's a picture of what we're like, what we as believers are like, as believers, when we're in sin. Yes. Both. We've fallen out of it and do not have the ability, as long as we stay in a state of total depravity, do not have fellowship, the ability of fellowship with God. We both lost it and do not have the ability to have it. That's why, people, when we come to the next part, the solution to all of this, I hope you appreciate the gospel, grace, faith, and not be so easy on anyone who wants to add to the gospel, that it has to be by grace and it has to be by faith and faith alone. And I'll show you why as we go through this. Point six. And if you have any questions, please ask. Point six. Now, when I study this, sitting at my desk, I pray, of course, the leading of the Spirit when I start. But when I go through and I'm developing things like we're doing now in point form, I'm just constantly, you know, just give me the flow. I want this to be, when I get through, I hope that a 11-year-old, 10-year-old would be able to go through all of these things in the Bible of total depravity. That it's not confusing, it's very simple to understand. So point five, in spiritual death, the soul is separated from God, the human spirit dies, rendering man incapable of fellowship with God. Not only did he lose fellowship with God, he became incapable of it. Six, and spiritual death results in total depravity. And spiritual death results in total depravity. Seven, this is going to be a jump. So just, there's a jump. It is because of spiritual death, kind of looking ahead, that Christ had to die twice on the cross. Because of spiritual death, Christ had to die twice on the cross. He died spiritually for the sins of the world. He died physically when it was finished. The payment of our salvation was made. He said, "It is finished," and his body died. Please look at Isaiah 53:9. It's a Bible church, so let's look in the Bible. Isaiah 53:9. Isaiah 53, verse 9. His grave was assigned with wicked men, unbelievers. Yet he was with a rich man in his death. Now, he was identified with the rich man, and you see how it says in his death? People in the Hebrew, that's plural. Deaths. Now, people, we're a Bible church. What's going on? Why is that the case? We've got to be able to answer that. Having the original language brings up other questions. Here's one of those places where it brings up other questions. In his deaths. Plural. Spiritual for our sins. Physical because his work was finished. Point eight. Adam and Eve entered into spiritual death total depravity. By choice. By choice. Both of them chose. Now all of that's a whole nother story. The whole thing of why Eve did it, how she was deceived, and how she was deceived, all those things, but she did it by choice. And how Adam chose. The second Adam, he chose to die for us on the cross. Adam chose to die to be with his wife. Had he not, he would have been alone. In John, it says that Christ said, if a seed goes in the ground and doesn't die, bears no fruit. The seed has to die and bear the fruit. So Adam chose to go into that death. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Oh, by the way, let me finish. Adam and Eve entered into spiritual death, total depravity by choice. The rest of the human race are born into spiritual death, are born into total depravity. Now, I don't advise you, when somebody you love or somebody you know, and they're having this baby, and everybody goes to the hospital or the home and ooh-gooing and ah-ing and all that stuff and how beautiful. I don't think it would be very wise or spiritual love for you to say, it's dead, spiritual death, total depraved, totally depraved. I don't think you'd be invited to the first birthday and of that little child. But let's face the facts. We're all born into the human race spiritually dead. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, that's the first Adam, first man, all die. We're all descended from Adam. All die. So also in Christ, all shall be made alive. Here's the solution to our spiritual death and total depravity. It's Christ. But we'll save the flow of that for a point all on its own. But there's the solution to it. So, in Adam, all die. Why? Adam died. The day that you eat, you shall surely die. Something happened in his soul. And that's passed on through the male throughout all history. It's why, Christmas coming up, why Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin, of a woman pregnant but not by a man. If she had been made pregnant by a male, the male would have passed on this death, this sin nature, this death, and Jesus Christ would have also been born that way. Being born of a virgin, that was not passed on. Women are carriers, but not passed. They don't pass it on. But the male passes this on. So, in Adam, being a descendant of Adam, and we're all descendants of Adam, all die. So also in Christ, all shall be alive. Let's look at Romans 5:17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, Adam, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, and we'll study this when we come to the solution to total depravity, the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, part of total depravity is unrighteousness, and we will regain that in Christ, the grace and of gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. That is Jesus Christ. So if by the transgression of the one Adam, death, spiritual death, total depravity, reigned through the one Adam, much more Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So this is very important. Now, you see that little phrase, much more? Let me just talk about that a second. Remember when we first started this, we saw that don't be angry at God about total depravity. Don't be upset about it. It is really a wonderful, wonderful thing to be under total depravity. It's not a horrible thing. It's a wonderful thing that God is doing. Because if we're born under total depravity, we can be redeemed to eternal life. So it really turns out to be something that is wonderful. Okay, those two verses will suffice on point 8. Let's look at point 9. Point 9. The effect of Adam's sin passed on to all of us. Death came to us all. Death came to us all. The dying you shall die is passed on. Let's look at Romans 5:12. Hope you haven't turned it from it. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, that's the total depravity passed down, and death through sin. People, you've got to understand how horrible sin is. Don't take it lightly. Generally, if a Christian goes to church and all these things, that's some really horrible sin. Adultery, fornication, murder, robbery. They get really totally, totally overwhelmed by it. Oh, this is just terrible. I didn't think I could do such a thing. People will tell you something. When you get angry at the person driving the car in front of you, how they're driving and the way they've cut in front of you, that's just as if you had done some horrible thing. You're dead. You're dead. You're in darkness. No production. Void. Empty. Genesis 1-2. That's the way you are. And we have to see this. And that's why it's so vital that we know how to be restored from death into life. From darkness, Genesis 1-2, into the light. That's Jesus Christ. Back into the light. You've got to know how to do that by faith in the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's wrong. Thank you for putting up with my voice. Point 9. The effect of Adam's sin passed on to all of us. Death came to all. Romans 5:12. Death is our normal state of existence. Think about that. Death is the normal state of existence. After the fall, this death affects all members of the human race, and even the earth, as we'll see, is affected by sin. Animals are affected by sin. Point 10. One of the truths, there are many, one of the truths of this death is that man receives the inability to discern between good and evil. Now this would take a long time. For the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll die. People think, oh well, that means we're going to know the difference between good and evil, like the law instructs us of good and evil. But one of the truths of this death is that man receives the inability to discern between good and evil. Let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13:14-15. Matthew 13:14-15. Verse 14. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. This is a result of total depravity. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. Under total depravity, man cannot even desire good people. Under total depravity, man cannot even desire good. It's not going to be within his framework to even desire good. A picture of total depravity is found in Genesis 6:5. Let's look at Genesis 6:5. Setting the case for the judgment of the flood. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord, second member of the Godhead, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, saw that the wickedness of man is the innate evil, the innate anti-God, anti-Christ. Saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Great everyone. And that every intent, the intent describes what goes on in the mind, of the thoughts, what comes from intent, of his heart. Now people, let me just let you know, we could spend 2 or 3 Sundays on this one passage. Note the 3 things going on: intent, thoughts, the heart. And how these flow be a very important study. We will not take the time right now, but I just want you to pay attention how this verse is flowing. Every intent of the thoughts of the heart, the real you. First time the heart is used in the Old Testament, by the way, is right here. Genesis 6:5. Was only evil. Now, evil here is the same word translated wickedness. They want to give it a different translation. Was only evil. Opposed to God. Opposed to God. And that he is, and this is the way he is continually. It was only evil continually. Sunrise, the actual text says, sunrise to sunset. Sunrise to sunset to sunrise. Continually. As man thinks, this is what comes out. Denoting the total depravity of man. While here, let's just note the whole thing in this passage. Let me turn there with you. Genesis 6, and I want us to read 5 through 8. Let's read Genesis 6, 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He didn't break every now and then. This is continual. Why? Total depravity. Verse 6. Again, we should spend time studying this, but just to let you see it. And the Lord was sorry that he made man. Well, we'd have a lot of trouble. The Lord isn't sorry about it. But to give us an ideal of his attitude. And the Lord was sorry that he made man. There are a lot of women that would agree with him, but let's save that. Let's save that till later. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. This means man and woman, male and female. And he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. All of this is to give you his attitude toward total depravity, the sin of man. So he's sorry and grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to birds, and to the skies, for I'm just sorry I made the whole bunch of them. That's how I made all of them. Now, you have to understand that sin not only affected man in total depravity, and we'll see this later, but it also affected this earth. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it not only brought them under total depravity, it affected the earth. Don't be surprised. What is Genesis 1:2? It's the effect of sin of the prehistoric world, of angels, in their warfare. Affected the earth, where it became void, dark, empty. Okay? So we expect the sin of man to have its effect. So, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will blot out. Man, I'll do it. This is what the Lord declares. You believe everything the Lord says He's going to do? He says He's going to blot them out. Whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I'm just sorry I made the whole lot of them. Verse 8, but Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the Lord said He's going to do it. He didn't do it. You have to be so careful and study the Bible, people. You have to be so careful studying the Bible. Be careful of what you say about what is going on in the Bible. God said He was going to do it, and He didn't do it. Why? Because He found grace in man. Here's my point, people. Don't you ever, ever underestimate the potential of your prayers, the power of your prayer. Your prayer can incite God. Don't you ever forget it. Where did we see this? We saw this in Job. We saw this in Job, where Satan calls God to act toward Job in a manner He wasn't going to. We see it here. So people, don't you understand, God is sovereign, omnipotent, all these things. But God listens to the godly, those filled with the Spirit. Don't ever underestimate the potential of the power of your prayer. And I don't care what kind of prayer it is, you should take very seriously when you just bow your head and thinking for a piece of chicken. You're talking to God. Don't let it become a routine. Don't let it just be something you do. Let it be something you realize what you're doing. You realize the power of prayer, what you're saying to Him. Jesus Christ, before the cross, He asked Himself, can I ask Him to remove this from me? And He said, no, this is why I came. And His prayer ended up being, Thy will be done. Take very seriously whenever you pray to Him, people. And understand the power of prayer if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of our prayer is unbelievable. And while here, Genesis 1:2 describes the effect of Satan's sin and rebellion. Barren, empty, darkness. Not in the good that God created it. We studied that in Isaiah. Genesis 2:17 describes the primary effect of man's sin and rebellion against God. To see the world in Genesis 1:2 as an effect of sin, the condition of man in Genesis 2:17 should help us understand total depravity. You should have very little problem understanding total depravity. See, there's some of you who may have had the fortune or misfortune of just going through life meeting nice people. Wait till you run into one. And boy, you'll say, yep, they're totally depraved, all right. They're all totally depraved. They're all, none are no good. Except me. And be careful with that. Okay. Even though this is jumping ahead, while we're here, let's note just a few things. What we need is to be without death. That's what we need. That's what happened. In 2:17, they ate and they died. What we need is to be without death. Secondly, what we need is to be without Adam's sin. Those are the two things we need under total depravity. We need to be without death, and we need to be without Adam's sin. And people, this is exactly God's solution, and it's given, jumping ahead now, we're going to put all this in proper order. jumping ahead, Genesis 1:3. Look at Genesis 1:3. Here's the solution. Genesis 1:3, Genesis 1:1, God's perfect creation. Genesis 1:2, what happened when sin entered? Genesis 1:3 is God's solution. And God said, "Let there be light." That is a picture of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. That's our only solution to death and our only solution to Adam's original sin. The problem of sin, the problem of Adam's sin being passed on to us, the problem of death is taken care of in verse 3. God sending His Son. This is what we receive from Jesus Christ, the end of death, and without Adam's sin. Let's look at Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Wages is another way of looking at what we're looking at in Genesis 2:17. It's another way of looking at the effect or the result of sin, total depravity. For the wages of sin is death. That's what happened to Adam and Eve when they ate. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. And this is going to be part of our study and understanding this whole issue about total depravity. Is man's free will involved in total depravity? Did man lose his free will? Did free will become depraved at that point? And we're going to be studying that. We'll have a Sunday just for that issue about the free will of man and total depravity. But whatever we're going to look at, I want you to know one thing, that God gave to every member of the human race a marvelous free gift. And that free gift is faith. Ephesians chapter 2. It is a gift of God. And now even a totally depraved person can exercise faith in Jesus Christ. So we'll take a look and put all of this together in its proper form. Alright, the next thing we want to look at, I passed our time now, but the next thing we're going to look at is the effect of total depravity on the heart of man. We're going to look at the scriptures and see what total depravity, how it affects the heart of man. Dying you shall die. So we died. So what happened to our heart under total depravity? So that's our next Roman numeral that we'll take up next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. And again, if you have any questions and don't want to ask them in class, email me. My prayer is that this can be made clear and simple, and I do mean simple, and easy to grasp in the power of the Spirit. Okay, let's pray. We stand amazed at what an awesome God you are. Father, we stand amazed at how you saw our condition. And you could have. You could have just vanquished us. Vanquished all human beings and all animals. Could have vanquished the earth. But you chose not to. Choosing not to meant that you'd have to send your son. Choosing not to just squash us out of existence meant that you would have to love with the price of your son to solve man's problems, even the problem of total depravity. It must be disgusting from a perfectly righteous God to look at us to watch us, even as believers. But you sent us your Son. We praise you, Father. We praise you that you did not just squash us out of existence. We praise you that you sent us your Son to solve our problem. That's what love does. We learn what love does by watching you. How you love. How you deal with us when we're in sin. You sent us the light. You saw us in darkness and you sent us the light. You saw us in sin and you sent us the cross. What an awesome God. So what we're really learning here, Father, is more about you than about us. When we study total depravity, we're learning about you, not about us. What kind of God you are. And we praise you, Father. Pray that you'll take the things that we've seen this morning, have them settled into our souls, take firm foundation, and then grow to where it has an impact in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.